You see this picture here, right? You see this picture. Marriage should not look like this. Marriage should not look like this. Next picture, please. This is what marriage should look like. This is what marriage should truly look like. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, being obedient to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. That's the picture. Thank you for that picture, those pictures. Title today's sermon, Love and Submission in Both Directions. Love and submission in both directions. We'll be coming out of Ephesians 5, 21 through 33, so if you can turn there. I'm going to read through it first because we'll take time at certain sections of the scripture, but let's read through it first. Ephesians 5, 21 through 33. Remember, I said I left 21, verse 21 out last week for a purpose. Hopefully, you'll see that purpose today. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ or out of the fear of God, right? Wives, submit to your own husbands, that's to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Amen. Take a little sip of water here. All right. In many areas of life, submission is a one-way street. Citizens must submit to the police, right? Soldiers must submit to their commanding officers, and employees must submit to their employers. When that one-way street is violated, the violator usually loses. In scripture, submission among believers is a two-way street. When violated, it affects everyone on the road. The answer to this is love God and truly submit to him. Relationships work better as we work together towards this common goal. We've already discovered last week by Paul in Ephesians 5 about being filled with the Spirit. And because of this, we address one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, right? We do that to one another, right? Verse 21 has another one another statement that is important as we go through our study this morning. Submitting to one another in the fear of Christ, right? Let me pause before we get into the next several verses to share something from my understanding of this particular text here. The four following paragraphs dealing with wives and husbands, children and parents, slaves and masters, they all derive from this very principle of verse 21. Submit to one another in the fear of Christ. Submit to one another in the fear of Christ. This morning, of course, I'll be focusing on just the marriage side of that, right? So let me also point out that this teaching would have been revolutionary for Paul's hearers at that time in Ephesus. They were used to having rules for wives, but there was absolutely no expectation for the husband to sacrificially love his wife and submit himself to her needs. This thought was revolutionary in Paul's day, and it still seemed to be the same for our culture today. The church understands that God's design is always better than whatever the cultural expectations of the day happen to be. Let us strive for God's design, not the expectations of the world. The word submit, I don't know if that was a fill-in for you or not. I've been going back and forth here. But the word submit is fighting words in some circles. And it's a combination of two Greek words, hupotasso, right? Submit means to place or put under. I want us to notice something, how verse 18 ties into verses 19 through 21. So let's read that together. Verses 18, we're going back and read verse 18 through 21. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of the reverence for Christ. Amen. May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. Notice the results of being filled with the Spirit. In the original, all the words in verses 22 through 33 hang off the principle of being filled with the Spirit. When we are filled with the Spirit, loving and submitting to one another resonates with us. In some homes, some husbands may know the next verse by heart. Verse 22. However, they tend to neglect verse 21. In fact, some may not know any other Bible verse at all. But they know, wives, submit to your own husbands. What we need to realize in this case is that verse 21 is actually a transitional verse. I don't believe there should be a break, as some Bibles have it, after verse 21, following three separate sections that I gave you about those relationships, in which I have already mentioned. It should be Ephesians 5, 21, 6 through 9 should have been a more whole section to be suffice, if you look at that. In verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands. It's interesting, very interesting to note that in the Greek text, the word submit does not appear in verse 22 in the original. It simply says in the original, verse 21 and 22, submitting to one another in the fear of God, wives to your husbands as to the Lord. Although the idea is certainly implied, it's implied, but not written. And because it is implied, translators have written it this way. But please, don't fret. Don't fret. For this does not distort the meaning of the text. Unless someone does not do what? Study to show themselves approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of what? Truth. So thank you. Thank you all who truly pray for us pastors to do this work by grace. Here's the principle. Submit to one another, wives to your husbands. And we'll see how this same overarching principle of submission from verse 21 for the husband also and what it looks like. Just stay with me. Just stay with me here. Some men say, that's the first time I ever heard that. Are you telling me, Pastor Tyree, that husbands are to submit to their wives? Well, this is going to be interesting. Well, that's how it's written in the original. If you look at that overarching verse from verse 21, verse 22 through 24 simply explain how wives are to submit to their husbands with the same kind of respect and devotion that they owe to Jesus Christ. That is the command scripture give to wives, but does the principle of mutual submission from verse 21 really mean that the husband must submit to the wife as well? It most certainly does. And just hang in there, please. Hang in there with me. The word submission relies on the power of verse 21 to make the meaning clear. Verse 21 is still in play when it comes to the husbands. This does not mean, of course, that the husband is supposed to relinquish his God-ordained role or leadership and authority in the home as some men have. Let that settle. What it does mean is that husbands get under Christ, obeying Christ, and exercise his leadership by serving her and sacrificing himself for her with Christ-like humility. He is to support his wife by helping bear her burdens and assume her cares, even if it means sacrificing his own desires to meet her needs. In short, he is to be a servant leader. He is to be a servant leader. Hold on, guys. Sorry about that. Getting a little dry here. Therefore, it's a different kind of submission. Not submission to her as the authority in the home, but a loving willingness to sacrifice for her, to serve her, and to seek her good. Amen. That's what we should be doing, husbands. In other words, the godly husband's main aim must be to please his wife in a way that glorifies God. That glorifies God, rather than merely doing his own thing, doing his own will, and demanding that she get in line. Now, please remember that doing these things does not in any way conflict with the role of leadership and authority that Christ gave to the husband in the home. I want you to see this leadership principle in action in another place from the same person that wrote this book that we're in right now, Apostle Paul. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3. Praise the Lord. All right, 1 Corinthians 11, 1 through 3. Be imitators of me as I am of Christ. Now I commend you because you remembered me in everything and maintained the traditions even as I delivered them to you. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband. And the head of Christ is God. The world believes that this statement poses a problem to those of us who believe in the Trinity and believe that Jesus Christ is God. Well, he is. Jesus Christ is God, right? Yet there is a differentiation between Christ and his Father. Now, I guess the question would be, does this mean that God, the Father, is superior to Jesus Christ? I'm going to say absolutely not. No. Jesus said, the Father and I are one. You know the scripture. You know the scripture. Praise the name of the Lord. You know the scripture. The Father and I are one. Well, how's the Father the head of Christ? Not in essence, not in nature. I got a fill-in coming up. But in a nutshell, Paul says in Philippians, in a nutshell, concerning Christ, who being in very essence God or in nature a God, knew it would be hard for us to even grasp this understanding. He knew it would be hard. Amen. The fill-in here. The issue here is not about superiority. It's functionality. I'm going to say that again. The issue here is not about superiority. It's about functionality. There has to be order and submission in every kind of relationship. It's needed in the Godhead. Is needed in government, is needed in businesses, is needed in marriage, is needed in the church. Right, Pastor Jeremy? It's needed in the church. Next fill-in. The principle of submission is what makes relationships flow smoothly. With that in mind, let's read Ephesians 5, 21 through 24. Excuse me. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in some things. Here's some laughter. What, your Bible don't say some things? That might be in the ladies' Bibles. Everything to their husbands, right? Everything. Submission does not mean slavery or tyranny or male superiority. It implies functionality of marriage. Remember the principle we just read in 1 Corinthians? The head of man is Christ. The head of the wife is the husband. And the head of Christ is who? God. It does not mean that man is superior over a woman. It does not mean that the husband is superior to his wife. Got a next fill-in coming up. Now it says that wives are to submit to their own husbands. And there's a qualification phrase here. As to the Lord. As to the Lord. Huh. Qualification phrase. Therefore, wives that submit to their own husband is an act of worship to the Lord. That's where we, yeah, amen. I want that one right there. Oh, so yes, praise God. So wives that submit to their own husbands is an act of worship to the Lord. Amen. To the Lord. Get ready for the next fill-in. I don't know if someone is listening and saying in their mind right now, you don't know my husband. Even if he has not gained your respect by obeying the word, hear me out, because I'm going to add some insult to the injury here, and he may even be ungrateful. I encourage you to stay obedient to God and leave the results with him. Leave the results with him, please. Amen. I'll show you something in scripture. Turn to 1 Peter 3, 1 through 5. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 5. You trying to get there and not give me time. I don't know what's going on today. First Peter 3, 1 through 5. I'll show you, I'm not making this up. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, outwardly, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart. Amen. With the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. Now listen to this here, because this is not about man. Which in whose sight? God's sight is very precious. See, the world is not going to tell us that. The world is not going to tell you that. Right here, this is good. This is very, very precious, right? In God's sight. In God's sight. Amen? Amen. 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 Got another fill-in coming up right here. It's, if they don't obey the word, you, without a word, can win them. If they don't obey the word, you, without a word, can win them. So there again, be submissive to your own husbands. So it's by example. It's not by nagging. It's not by criticizing. And it's definitely not by pushing and prodding. You know, it's not like that. But there is a limit to your submissiveness, wives. Do everything to who? The Lord. Or in the Lord. That's the principle that's at hand right now. As we continue, we'll see that the relationship between the husband and wife has the same qualification that it is in the Lord, or as to the Lord, or unto the Lord, right? So if your husband asks you to do something that is not in the Lord, that is clearly disobedient to the commands of Scripture, you love Jesus more and obey him above all else. These are the limitations and qualifications. But now let's go back to Ephesians. And now, husbands, it's our turn. Okay. Verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wow. You're going to notice that twice husbands are told to love their wives, because it's said again in verse 28, right? In verse 28. It said twice. I heard people preaching this at times, and they tend to think it was only once for the wives. But if you look at verse 22 and 24, the wives got their instruction twice also. They did. And it's like, wow. So why are we both given our commands twice? Do we forget easily? Maybe. Maybe. Moving right along. Did you know that, and this is a fill-in, I believe, did you know that the term husband come from an ancient term to cultivate or till the ground? Remember back in John 15:1, Jesus said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman in King James Version, or gardener in ESV, vine dresser, right? And the tiller of the ground, cultivator of the relationship. That's what a husband is. That's what a husband is. The tiller of the ground. Cultivator of the relationship. Oh, Lord, help us. Help us to do this. A husband is put there to cultivate the wife and later on to nurture and cultivate the children. We think it's just the wife's job. No. It's the man's job to do this. And that's quite a job. There's an old Chinese proverb that says, it's harder to lead a family than it is to rule a nation. Woo. But boy, do we need men to be servant leaders in our homes. In our homes. I hear quite often that we need more Christian leaders in politics. Yeah, I know. We do. But you know we need them more in our homes than anywhere else. Than anywhere else. This is where it all begins, in the home. In the home. If all husbands lead as Christian husbands and fathers, we will have a different nation. Amen? We will have a different nation. It would be great to have them in politics also. But I rather see good, godly, Christian men leading homes. You know why? Because it's God's game plan. That's God's game plan. Amen. I got a fill-in coming up. This is one target that we are aiming for here at Faith Bible Fellowship. And this starts with discipleship. If you are a spiritually mature man, I'm going to say like Pastor Les says, get a man. If you are a spiritually mature man, get a man to disciple. Amen? Amen. And teach them what? What you going to teach them? All that Christ commanded him. All that Christ commanded every single one of his disciples. All that he has commanded us. Amen. If you need to be discipled, come ask the pastors. Come ask the elders. We'll get you hooked. If we can't do it ourselves, we know some other mature men that might be able to possibly do that. We need that to happen, men. Amen? That is what we're shooting for. So what type of love in Greek is displayed here in this verse? I think I moved too fast here. No, I didn't. So what type of love in Greek is displayed here in this verse? You can guess. It's agape. It's agape. It's the highest form of love in the Greek language. The fill-in here is, that is the fill-in. Hopefully that's coming up. Agape is most far-reaching, most self-sacrificing. Yes. And it's the strongest love. It's the strongest love. I'll say that again. Agape is most far-reaching. Most self-sacrificing, and it's the strongest love. Amen. Yeah. Got to fill in. You're getting ready to work here now. So husbands, love. Love. Husband is to be the head, but in a sense, the heart of the home. Husbands, love, not order your wives, not rule over your wives, but love your wives. Amen. Love them. Love them. Got another fill-in here. Here's what I think is the point of the text. Authority need to be balanced with affection. Authority need to be balanced with affection. If it's all authority and no affection, you will have a tyrant. If it's all affection and no authority, you will have a leader with no backbone. I like to say they're walking around jelly back. No backbone. Serious. You do have some men like that. I hate to say that. I just want to call that out. And if I'm let the Lord, the Holy Spirit is the one that does that work. So husbands, your authority is needed, but your affection is also. That's agape. That's agape. Husbands, let's love our wives as Christ loved the church. Christ is my model as a husband, and I confess that I don't meet up to that, to these qualifications that he gives us. But I'm going to tell you what, he is still my model. I'm striving for that. That's the difference. And I hope each and every one of us as husbands are doing the same. Strive to be like Christ. Strive to love our wives like Christ loves the church. Next feeling here. So how does Christ love the church? First of all, it's a sacrificial love. Sacrificial love. Looking at verse 25 again. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In other words, Jesus loved the church enough and also people enough that he would leave heaven, come to earth, live among sinners, being obedient to his Father, being submissive to his Father's will. Jesus loved people enough to be ridiculed, spat upon, to be mocked. Some say, that sounds like a normal day at my home. If so, husbands, wives, I say it now, whoever is the one doing it, because it could be either or, right? I'll just say, stop it. Simple. Stop it. Jesus loved his bride, the church, enough to do what? Die. Die for her, right? He died for us sinners. Some husbands say, I love my wife that much, I would take a bullet for her. Well, that's great. That's admirable, right? That's absolutely noteworthy. You will take a bullet for her. Great. Okay. If you are willing to take a bullet for her, does it make sense that you would perform some of those lesser sacrifices short of actually taking a bullet for her? Those are the kind of words that makes us say, Next feeling. I mean, if you are willing to die for her, are you willing to live for her? Are you willing to live for her? If this feels like it's a little too close to home, that may be a conviction from the Holy Spirit, not me. When it comes to sacrifice, Christ is the absolute standard. The absolute standard. Got another feeling coming up. Ask yourselves, man, when was the last time you sacrificed for your wife? It's between you, her, and the Lord. Remember, this should be our absolute lifestyle. Our absolute lifestyle. The feeling here, it's a sanctifying love. Reading verse 26 and 27, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. The commandment of Jesus Christ to his church did not end with sacrificial love. It continues with this sanctifying love. Got a feeling coming up. The commitment that Jesus Christ has for the church didn't end in giving his life once for all for the sins of humanity, But Jesus Christ is committed. Here we go, fill in. But Jesus Christ is committed to our growth, isn't he? Amen. Committed to our growth, our maturity, our nurturing. Right? I know I'm going to have you working right here because I got three fill-ins coming in. I tried to make it as less words as possible, but I want you to have this. These two verses are clearly speaking of sanctification. In short, Jesus wants us to be holier and holier and holier and more like him. More like him. And he's committed to that process in a number of ways, right? We already know the work that he started in us, right? He will perfect it to the coming day of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So he is committed to this here, right? But I have some points that I'm going to let you know that how he's committed. Remember back in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, he did what? He sealed us. We're not going to read that, but he sealed us with his spirit. That's what he ended up doing. He sealed us. In verse 26, 27, he sets us apart and washes us with his what? His word. That's what he does. He washes us with his word. And also in verse 27, he presents us righteous and guiltless. I know. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So he sealed us with his spirit. He sets us apart and washes us with his word. And he presents us righteous and guiltless. Praise the name of the Lord. The point is that the love doesn't stop with a one-time demonstration. It's a lifestyle of love. A lifestyle of love. So husbands should be committed to taking their wives away from the defilement of the world and making sure that they are washed in God's word. Nurtured by his word and mature, being set apart, separate. Got a feeling coming up. As we look at verses 28 through 30, we'll see that it's not only sacrificial love, it's not only sanctifying love, right? It's not just those things, but it's a secure love. A secure love. Making her feel secure. Pastor Tyree, how are we going to do this? I am so glad you asked. I am. Let's look at verses 28 through 30. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves who? Himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, right? Just as Christ does the church. Wow, just as Christ does the church. Because what? We are members of his body. Ooh. A man's wife is an extension of the man. He is to care and nurture her to the point where she feels that type of security. He loves me like himself. That's what she needs to be thinking and saying. He loves me like himself. Whatever you do to nurture yourself, treat your wife the same. The same. She's an extension of you. We're going to get into that. Adam realized this way back in Genesis 2, the very inception of the marriage covenant. By the way, what did Adam say when he saw Eve? He said, wow! No. Wow. No. That's not in the Bible. He didn't say wow. He said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of who? Man. That's an extension. Taking out of man. For some reason, I believe these words came with much more excitement than how we read it. I do. Especially after being around just some animals that actually all had mates themselves. Right? Adam was longing for a suitable helper for himself. I believe what Adam said came with great emotion. Like, wow, you know, like, and not just to some old dry statement. I don't believe that. Allow me to paraphrase this moment for Adam. Wow, this is it. This is the one who came from me. She's a part of me. She's an extension of my life and my complement. And I will love her the same. And I will love her the same. That's my definition there. Amen. You can't clap. You go ahead. That's right. Even if you're the only one, that's great. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Ladies, that's good stuff, right? You want to hear that? Some spend a lot of time caring for their bodies in our culture because their bodies are very important to them, right? Some take vitamins and spend a lot of time at the gym, you know? Especially states like California and Florida. They got all these mirrors in the gym, right? Some psychologists, they actually did a study and timed young people in front of a mirror and tracked their gaze and discovered something. They discovered that males look at themselves for about 5 seconds longer than females. I was like, what? Now, if this is true, they must have performed the study in a gym. Because a guy get to walking by, you know, the mirrors are really for what? For you to look at that you're doing the exercise correctly. That's what the mirrors are really for. But I'm quite sure when a guy get to working out for a little bit of time, he get to feeling himself, right? And you start looking, and I'm quite sure that's why they are looking at the mirror probably a little bit longer. I'm quite sure. I'm quite sure. Right. If it's true, if that study is true. The next feeling here, love, cherish, and nurture your wives as yourself. Verse 29, love, cherish, and nurture your wives as yourself. One of the reasons wives find it hard to submit to their husbands is simply that they don't feel secure by their husband's love. You know, some men don't even tell their wives on a regular basis that I love you, I cherish you, I adore you. And some have never told them. Some men say, well, I told her when we got married. Wow. My word is bond. I said it once. I still do. She wants to hear that often. She wants to hear that often. Some guys have a hard time getting it out. How was your day at work? What we having for dinner? What's the problem? What's the problem? It's hard for them to get it out until about 10 o'clock at night. Then it's like, honey, I love you. I adore you. I cherish you. It's a whole different ball game then. Whole different ball game. Guys, I didn't know if I was going to go there, but Lord, tell you what, guys, just a word of wisdom. If you want to get water out the well, you got to prime the pump. This is throughout the day. You got to spend time. It's not I love you when it's time to lay down that night. No, you love her. You cherish her. Throughout the day. Amen. Oh, well, some ladies know what I'm talking about then. Really, this is real talk right here. Real. Your next feeling here. It's a stable love. Stable love. I'm going to read verse 31. It's a stable love. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Verse 31, Paul is quoting from Genesis, showing that marriage covenant was initiated by God. For this reason, a man will leave and a man will cleave. The next two fill-ins here, hopefully they pop up for you. Leave your old family unit. I'm not going into the deep theological part of it. I want the practical here, right? Leave your old family unit and then cleave to your partner to form a new family. Yes. Amen. I'll say it again. Leave your old family unit. Cleave to your partner to form a new family. Got a little bit of application here. It's going to come earlier than towards the end for some. It's really for both, but for men to actually initiate this. The homework here, husbands. If you were to go home and take two pieces of paper, right, and glue them together, put them on both sides, press them together, leave it, let it dry. Essentially, you have one unit. Now, I know somebody in their head is saying right about now, no, you don't. You still have two pieces of paper. They're just stuck together. They're just glued together. But I dare you to try to separate them. After your attempt, husbands, wives can ask this question. Were you able to pull those two pieces apart without them being damaged? Do they resemble the original bond? They don't. You may take it apart, but it will be severely damaged. Look very differently. So the two shall become one flesh, leaving and cleaving or gluing together so that the love is what? A stable love. Your next fill-in here. The absence of stability in a marriage is the reason many marriages fail. So Paul reminds us of the fact that husbands and wives are one flesh. Christ and the church are one. So also the husband and wife are one. As Jesus loves the church greatly, husbands, love your wives greatly. Love them as yourself. So we see here love and submission both ways. It goes in both directions, love and submission. Husband and wife both love each other. The wife submits to the leadership of the husband, and the husband submits to the well-being of his wife. Love and submission in both directions. What a beautiful picture of love and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Getting married is easy. Staying married is more difficult. Staying happily married for a lifetime can only happen by God's grace. By God's grace. Amen. Amen. Let's read verse 32, 33. Get ready to get you out of here. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Let's consider verse 32 here, where it speaks of this profound mystery that refers to Christ and the church. In other words, a marriage covenant is intended by God to become what? A visible miniature version of what? Of the relationship that Christ has with his church. A visible miniature version here. So that if you want to see what a healthy church ought to be like, you look at a good Christian marriage. A husband loving his wife like Christ loves the church, right? And wife submitting to her husband as unto the Lord. That's a beautiful picture, a beautiful testimony to who? The world. And that beautiful relationship becomes a living testimony. That's what it becomes. A testimony where people can look at that marriage and say, that's the way God loves his people. That's good. Wow. What did they say, like, after seeing your marriage? Like, wow, that's what I want. That's what I want. Great testimony. Then you could point them to Christ. I'll close with some food for thought here. A good marriage is a good witness. A bad marriage is a bad witness. Think about it. Two Christians in the same house, in the same bedroom, can't resolve conflicts, can't forgive one another, show love and submission in both directions. How are they going to ever share the love and forgiveness of Christ with other people? When you're telling people those things about Christ, like, Christ will change your life. Mm-hmm. You don't want them to say this. Oh, really? Did he change yours? Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning, for it is absolutely true. Lord, it is my prayer that you will fill us with your spirit and we would demonstrate your love and submission in the closest of our relationships, in our homes, with our spouses, with our children, in this local church and abroad, in our friendships, in our workplaces. There's many ways to apply this love. I pray, Lord, that overarching principle, living in the fear of the Lord and submitting to one another, will carry us and mark us. Thank you for our time together, discovering the truth of your word. If right now you don't know Christ and you realize right now that it's time to surrender, it's time to raise the white flag, it's time to submit, what I give you is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. He said, for I passed on to you as most important what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. Believe this and live with Christ for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.